Good afternoon. It's good to see some sunshine finally after we've had kind of a wet and dreary week. But it's good to have the Sabbath around too, that we can cherish those few moments to take a moment of peace and relaxation. Life has a lot of maintenance, doesn't it? Seems like there's always something to be done. Whether it's mowing your lawn or working around the house, there's always something to maintain. Your home, the outside, the exterior, the inside, your household, the dusting and the vacuuming that goes on there, right? Always keeps our lives busy. And of course, there's your car. Cars can be a money pit in some ways. At least they are sometimes in the ones we've had. We've had some lemons. And then, of course, we have to take care of ourselves, right? Maintenance. All the things that we enjoy doing. Maybe. Well, this was our lucky year. Maybe you've had one. We got to paint the trim on our house. Actually, I say we, it was I, because Cynthia finally convinced me it was time to do the work. I had done it about 5 years ago, and I took the lazy approach. I must confess, I just put a top coat over the edging, and I didn't do all the required preparation that we did this time. And so I primed, and we caulked, and then we painted. And we spent about 2 weeks up on a ladder, about 15 feet, as we gradually moved around the house and accomplished most of it. I have a few spots that are still left. And we're hoping that by doing all this, that will help the house last a little longer. And also we're hoping that the carpenter bees will no longer attack the dry wood that we had on our home. So it was worthwhile. But we all probably have a honey-do list, don't we? Honey, will you do X? We all have them. And sometimes it's the shorter that are the better ones, right? I keep mine, or I used to keep them on a 3x5 card, but then the cards got long, and the sheet got long, and I couldn't keep track of it all, so now I do it mentally. Sometimes it's better if you forget them. But let me suggest another list to you. A list that it's not necessarily a checklist, but it is a very important list that if we do and we follow, we can be counted part of the faithful when Christ returns. It's a holy do list. A holy do list. Like I said, it's not a checklist of things that we mark off, done, as we move and grow towards growth in God's character and moving towards eternal life that we hope to receive. But rather, it's a list of things that we need to maintain, that we need to maintain within our spiritual life, a holy do list. And because physical maintenance and the things that we take care of in our life helps us to understand the great diligence that is required for us to become holy. Physical maintenance helps us to understand the diligence that's required for us to become holy. And so let's discuss four areas of spiritual maintenance this afternoon. Let's discuss four areas of spiritual maintenance. The title for my message is Our Holy Do List. Our Holy Do List. And before we go into these four areas, I'd like to take some time and talk about why holiness is important. Why holiness is important. I'll be reading from the New International Version today because I like the way it's phrased. I think it's very poignant and direct as we go through this topic here this afternoon. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and in verse 3, and we'll begin our discussion by finding out why God treats holiness as important. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning and in verse 3. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3, it says, "It is God's will that you should be sanctified." It is God's will that we should be sanctified. It's continuing. It says that you should avoid sexual immorality. Of course, we can apply that spiritually and how we conduct our lives and the immorality that can combat us if we don't fight it. That each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. And that in this matter, no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. To live a holy life. When we look back at the word God's will, found there in verse 3, will is a very strong word there. It's issued almost as a decree or a command from the great eternal. If we have a decree or command that's given to us today, we try to follow it, don't we? To live by it. It's a very strong verb. It means that he has a great determination that we will take on holy character, to put his nature inside of us, our physical bodies, because God wants us to live lives of holiness, as we see there in verse 7, to live a holy life. So holiness is very important to God. This is the great instruction that we have, to live our lives according to his truth, to put in the godly character. When we look at the word sanctify, it says that God will that we should be sanctified. Sanctification is really the act of making holy. The act of making holy. So it's a very important instruction that God gives, as we see here in 1 Thessalonians. Let's turn over a few books to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 15. Continuing with this thought. 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 15. It's God's will that we become holy. Now, he can't make us do it, but he's very determined and he's made the opportunity very available to us in his plan. 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 15, it says, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do." That's a challenge for us, isn't it? To take on the responsibility of trying to do God's commands, God's laws. "Just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy." That's a great charge that we all have. And when we think back at the story of Israel, what did God instruct Israel? He said you were to become a holy nation. Remember when he gave them the law back in Exodus, he made them to wash and to be clean before he presented that to them. Holy means to be clean. It means to be purified. It means to be blameless. That's a challenge that we all face, to be and conduct our lives in a way that is not blameless, or a way that is blameless, where people can't charge us with something that we've done wrong. But each day when we get up, we go to the Father and we say, "I need some help today. Help me to live your truth so that I can be clean, so that I can live my life in holiness." It's a separation that God has called us to conduct our lives in a befitting manner, isn't it? To live our lives in holiness. Let me read to you from the Life Application Study Bible on holiness. It says, "Holiness means to be totally devoted or dedicated to God, to be set aside for his special use, and set apart from sin and its influence. We're to be set apart and different, not blending in with the crowd, yet not being different for the sake of being different." You see those people in the mall, or perhaps driving along in the street, the way they dress and the way they perhaps decorate their car or themselves, shows that they're just trying to be different for the sake of being different. The tattoos, perhaps the jewelry, the clothing even. We're not that way. God's qualities in our lives make us different. Continuing on. Our focus and priorities must be his. That's a challenge. Our focus and priorities must be his. We cannot become holy on our own, but God gives us his Holy Spirit to help us obey and to give us power to overcome sin. Very, very powerful words written by a man who didn't have the truth, but I think God perhaps inspired his comments so that we can learn from them. Go with me over to John chapter 17 and in verse 15, we'll see the words of Jesus Christ, some of the last words that he gave to us before his life was taken on from this earth. John 17 and in verse 15, holiness is very important to our Father. And he has made a plan available so that we can strive to become holy. John chapter 17 and in verse 15, it says, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth." Sanctify, to make holy. If we live God's truth in our lives, we can strive to become holy. We will never attain it perfectly until the kingdom comes and our bodies are changed. But Christ said to sanctify them by the truth. And that's what we strive to do each day, is to live by the truth of God. Continuing, it says, "Your word is truth. And as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself." So Christ gave himself so that we can have that opportunity to try to live a life of holiness. We can take in of the Holy Spirit, and we can have that strength and power that God offers because Christ died and then ascended to the Father's throne. "I have sent them into the world, and for them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified." Sanctification is progressive. It's not something we do like that. It's not something we flip a light switch and we're pure. Maybe you like to get fresh water when you drink it from the tap, and they all claim that it's pure, right? You flip that switch and it comes through the filter and it comes out and you drink it, and you hope the impurities are gone. That's very quick. But the process of sanctification is a lifelong struggle. The Barnes commentary says it consists in becoming more like God, less attached to the world, in getting power over evil thoughts and passions and impure desires, and in becoming more and more weaned from the earthly objects and attached to those things which are unseen and eternal. God's plan, the character of God, the holiness that we are to live. And we have to make a conscious effort to obey the laws of God, and when he shows us where we fall short, don't we? We can read a particular passage and realize, well, I didn't do so hot on that one. We'll try to do better. We ask for strength to go forward. We can't selectively choose what we do, what we don't do. To live a holy life means that we are conforming to the precepts of God. Go with me over to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and in verse 9. The thread of holiness is all throughout the Scriptures. God gave it early on to the children of Israel. He makes it important because God himself is holy. And he wants us to be part of his family as his children. And we can only be a part of his family if we strive to put on his nature and his character. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and in verse 9. It says, "The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath." God has a promise that he will make us his people, his holy people. But there's one stipulation. Continuing, it says, "If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways." Stipulations that we have to do, we have to work on to become holy, to live our lives in holiness. And this requires maintenance. Maintenance. So let's look at four areas of spiritual maintenance that we need to do in our lives. Just like we have the physical things we do, they can teach us and help us to understand what we're accomplishing, what we're growing towards in a spiritual sense. I came up with four. You might come up with different ones, but let me give to you what I have on my list here today. Number one, maintain the lawn. Maintain the lawn. I didn't say mow the lawn. I said maintain. Because maintenance includes fertilizing, trimming, and mowing, and weeding. They're all important, right? You all have lawns that you mow, or maybe you rent a place and somebody has to come and mow it. If you don't weed, you get clovers, you get crabgrass, you get thistles, your lawn doesn't look very good. So you have to weed. And if we neglect any one of these, our lawn isn't healthy, is it? We might be the eyesore in the neighborhood. Hopefully you're not. So how do we translate that spiritually? We must maintain a focus on God's way. We must maintain a focus on God's way. We have to weed out the cares of this world. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 13. We have to weed out the cares of this world. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 3. Christ was very direct when he made these statements. Found in Matthew 13. Matthew 13 and verse 3 gives us the parable that we know very well. He says, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. And some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. And it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear." We cannot let the cares of this world choke out our desire to serve God and to follow Him. We must weed out those things that combat and hit our lives each week, each day, that want to take us off the pathway from following God. The world is very alluring. It's very captivating. How many of you like to fish? A few of you like to fish. My grandfather taught me to fish. I'm not very good at it, probably because I don't have the patience for it. But when you dangle that hook down on the bottom of the bobber, it's luring because you intertwine a worm on it, right? And the fish comes up and he grabs it. This world's the same way. It's very alluring. It's like that hook dangling out there, and it wants to grab. If we grab for it, we can be injured, and it can ruin our lives. We can't let that take our attention away from following God. It can capture our affections. It's pretty on the surface, but underneath it's weeds. It's thistle. It's crabgrass that grow underneath, and then all of a sudden, the shoot comes up, and you can't see where it is, but you see the root coming up. We have to be careful of what we take in. Our minds can be choked from the God's Word that gives us the life that we need. We need to be filled with that to weed out those things that can come into our lives. And after we do that, we must fertilize our mind with God's truth. We must fertilize our mind with God's truth. Turn with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We must fertilize our mind with God's Word on a regular basis. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. We're using very familiar scriptures today. I think it's good to remind ourselves what we're doing in our lives. 2 Timothy 3:16. Again, I'm reading from the NIV, New International Version. "All scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." I really like the way that's read there. Training in righteousness. "So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Now let me read to you this from the New Living Translation because it's very direct as well. "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. And isn't that the purpose, that we study and to read so that we can see where we fall short, where we need to change, how we can grow? Because it teaches us and guides us on the right way to live, the right way to do things, and the right way to act as we fertilize. Some weeks are more challenging than others. Some weeks you may not get any study in. Some weeks you perhaps do better. I found that when you take the time, perhaps at lunchtime if you're able to come home, or maybe in the evening before dinner's prepared, if you take a few moments just to read, God's Word is very encouraging. We don't always have to read it for instruction. You can do it for encouragement. You can do it for strength. But it's very beneficial just to take in and to fertilize. You know, when we spread those little granules on our lawn, it has nitrogen in it, it has phosphate, and it has potash. Those are those three numbers you see on the bottom of the bag. I didn't know that until I started studying for the sermon. But each one has a purpose. Each part of God's Word that we read has a purpose for instruction, for correction, if we need it. God's always merciful in how He does that, to teach us. Nitrogen helps the plants grow and become green. But the other elements are there so that the roots form, so that the plants are healthy. God's Word must be taken in a very balanced form as He prepares and equips us to be His children. You know, it doesn't take much for Satan to hook us. And if we're not taking in of God's truth, that can happen very easily, because He knows our weakness. And He sends out the thoughts and the attitudes that we have to deal with. And they can choke our dedication and our faith if we're not connected with our Father. Well, after we've done all this, the easy part's mowing. Right? Start the lawnmower and off you go. And you get out the weed whip. That's the easy part. Maybe. But we have to mow and trim. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. We have to weed and fertilize, then we mow. And it's all part of maintenance. Maintenance as we focus on God's way in our lives. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 24. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. So our effort should be constant. Our effort should be a desire to get the medal, even though we look at the field and we say, oh, well, these three guys are going to come in first. I'm maybe about sixth, maybe seventh. But we still run. We run the Christian race as if we can come in first, with a balanced approach, realizing the energies that we have. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training, and they do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. To trim our lives in accordance to reflect godly character. To bring into submission all the thoughts in accordance with God's way. Continuing, it says, therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. And so as we maintain our relationship with our Father, are we making our lives a slave to God's truth? Are we making our lives in accordance with His ways? To trim the things that perhaps we see the weed coming up? To trim the sin that we might see? The faults that we can recognize? You know, do you like to walk in your neighborhood? We enjoy walking, especially on the Sabbath. It's nice to get up and you have a peaceful little time and you get out and walk. And sometimes you come by a property and, oh man, let's just go around that one. And then you come to a beautifully manicured lawn and you think, wow, that person really spends a lot of time on their property. My dad calls that curb appeal. Curb appeal. You know, some houses have a lot of curb appeal. They've got perhaps the hostas out there and the roses are blooming and the flowers are just gorgeous. And the lawns are all cut nice and edged. Mine doesn't look that way. We try. But it takes time. And some properties you just want to walk around. Well, let me ask you, what is your spiritual curb appeal? Does our life express a concern for others? Do we show love in how we talk and communicate with each other? Are we approachable? What's your curb appeal? What's your curb appeal? Sometimes or months we do better than others. In the summertime when we actually take care of our property, it could be the same with our spiritual lives. What's our curb appeal? Are we caring? Or are we focused on our desires and ourselves? Because our curb appeal reflects how well we are maintaining a relationship with God. How strong that relationship is with our Father. And how much we're implementing God's truth and trying to live the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. Let's move on to point number two. Point number two, the ladies will like this one. Point number two is wash the laundry. Wash the laundry. Sunday is laundry day in our household. I don't know what day it is in yours. Sunday, Cynthia works very hard to wash the laundry. And then maybe once during the week, or a couple times during the week, have a few more loads. There's a magical item in the closet. Maybe you have one too. Why is it magical? Plop your dirty clothes in it, and 3 days later, whew, they show up in your drawer, folded, clean, ready to wear again. You have one of those in your house? A magical hamper. Now we know it's not really magic. There's a lot of work involved. But every day we wear clothes, don't we? We all got spruced up today to come to services. Our clothes need to be cleaned because they get dirty. Every day, our spiritual clothing, our character, what's inside here, needs cleaning. Every day, our character needs cleaning. Turn with me over to Isaiah chapter 1 and in verse 16. Every day, our spiritual clothing of our character needs cleaning. Just like the laundry. Isaiah 1 and in verse 16, God gave instructions to Israel. Very direct. Isaiah 1 and verse 16. He says, wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. To wash. To wash our character. To wash the inside. Christ talked about cleaning the cup from the inside so that our character is clean. To wash. You know, when God gave His law, He had Israel to clean themselves, to wash their clothes, to wash themselves before He presented His law. Then when Aaron and the priest were set apart, God had them bathe to represent symbolically a cleansed heart, a cleansed mind. And we are to cleanse our lives because we're striving to put on the white garment so that we can become the bride of Christ, to cleanse our lives. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and in verse 1. The physical can teach us a lot about the spiritual when we relate to it. 2 Corinthians 7 and in verse 1. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, it says, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates the body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. That's what we're doing when we wash ourselves, when we strive to put out the dirt and the sin that's inside, the faults, to wash ourselves, to make ourselves clean, to put on the godly character. The expositor's commentary says that we are to avoid every source of possible defilement in every aspect of our lives. I like this term, perfecting holiness. Perfecting holiness. That's probably a good slogan you could put on your refrigerator. We haven't done that. Maybe we will. What detergent do you use for your laundry? Use Tide? OxyClean? Maybe use Purex. Let me read to you some of the slogans. Tide's in, dirt's out. How about God's in, sin's out? That's from Tide. OxyClean. OxyClean gets the stains out. If you've got a really tough stain, this is a white powder you can put in your laundry, a little cup of it. Wow, that just works magic on clothes. So does God's Spirit on our spiritual clothing. So does applying His truth in a spiritual sense. Purex. Now you can get the white whites and long-lasting brightness. Think about Jesus Christ. When His appearance shines so bright that you can't look at Him. Character. The holy character that God has is what He wants us to take in. Washing our clothes spiritually is done so that we can have pure character. Pure character. Because that's what God wants us to be. Just like a white shirt or a wedding dress. Crisp and clear. Or crisp and clean. Without spots. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 22 and verse 11. Matthew 22 and verse 11. A warning for us. In a parable that Christ gave, Matthew 22, verse 11, as we strive to wash our garments, Matthew 22, verse 11, "But when the king came in to see the guest, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes." Now, this is a little different from what we know today. Back at that time, if you went to a wedding, often you were given a set of clothes that you were to come to the wedding in. I learned this from one of the commentaries. So it was really a slap in the face for this man to come to the wedding without the proper garments on. He was perhaps trying to insult the host, or maybe he just had an arrogant approach that he didn't need the clothes. Well, that can help us. Do we need to change our lives? Do we need to wash what we see inside that's wrong? Of course we do. So when we read this parable, it's very telling. It says, the king came, see the guest, he noticed a man not wearing wedding clothes. And he said, "Friend, how did you get in here without wearing wedding clothes?" And the man was speechless. If we're not preparing our lives now, we might be speechless when Christ returns. If our wedding garment won't be white, striving to be holy. The man was speechless. The king told the attendants, "Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The wedding clothes, of course, picture the righteousness that's needed to enter God's kingdom. And we must choose to put them on. We must choose to wash them and to work on our character if we want to be a part of the banquet that will take place when Christ returns. So just as we dutifully wash our clothes each week, or perhaps every other day, depending on what the schedule is in your house, each day we must choose to make righteous decisions so that we can appear clean, so that our lives can be brought into conformance with God's way. Washing the laundry. Simple task, but we can learn a lot. Number three, check the oil. Check the oil. You have to check the oil in your lawnmower, check the oil in your weed whip, check the oil in your car. Because for protection, those metal parts rub against each other, don't they? And the oil pulls the heat away from the metal, so it doesn't grind and you get build up on the inside of the engine. It's for protection. Otherwise, you can have accelerated wear, and you can ruin the engine. We must draw upon and use the Holy Spirit every day. We must draw upon and use the Holy Spirit every day as we check the oil. Turn with me over to Psalm chapter 51 and verse 10. David had some wonderful comments as God mercifully showed him what was wrong in his life after he had sinned greatly. Psalm 51 and verse 10. David writes, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, a pure heart, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." When we check the oil and we determine that it's low, or perhaps we determine that it's dirty, filled with grit, what do? We dump that lawnmower over, or we drive to Jiffy Lube, and we have a change, don't we? David says that we are to renew a steadfast spirit. We change the oil. We draw upon God's Spirit so that we have that fresh power of His Holy Spirit each day in our minds, so that we can put in holiness, so that we can do the right things in maintenance of our lawn and the things that we need to change. Our ability to remain spiritually strong and active depends on how much we rely upon God. That comes from a booklet, The Transforming Power of God's Spirit. That power comes through prayer. That power comes through prayer. Let's go over to Psalm chapter 62, a few pages over, and in verse 8. Psalm 62 and in verse 8. We need to draw upon God's Holy Spirit as strength and guidance and wisdom. "Trust in Him at all times, O people, and pour out your hearts to Him. For God is our refuge." We sang a hymn about that. It means we are to share our thoughts, our wishes, our sorrows, to let God know what we're experiencing so that we can draw upon that strength as He works with us, directing our minds. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. 'Changing our oil is very important. Keeping God's Spirit alive and active as we live our lives is critical. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. "Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." To take in of God's strength and His Holy Spirit. Let me read to you from an article that I found this week, written by Roy Holiday. It's called "The Importance of Prayer and Bible Study." We need to be recharged by the Spirit of God so that we might have the power to overcome. Just as the physical body must be renewed in power and strength, so must our spiritual batteries be recharged. We are to eat the Word of God, and it becomes part of us. The Spirit of God imparts spiritual power. The Spirit is renewed in us through prayer and study, and our spiritual development depends upon consistently eating of God's Word. So we have a lot of things we need to do. The time and the challenge is making time for them to do them, to take in God's truth, to draw upon His Spirit through connection and prayer, and keeping our lives active and in connection with God. Turn with me over to Colossians chapter 4 and in verse 2. Colossians 4 and verse 2. Checking the oil sometimes gets forgotten on a physical level. You find out when the smoke begins to billow out of your car. You might have to pull over to the side of the road. One year I forgot to check the oil in our lawnmower. Boy, I gave some good smoke signals to all our neighbors. But it's very important. We check the oil. Colossians 4 and verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. If we are dwelling excessively on ourselves and our problems, we can be vulnerable to Satan. How much are we praying about God's work? How much are we praying about the truth going out in a positive way? The message of God needs to go to this world, and we need God's guidance to deliver that. He says here that pray for me, that I can take the message out. How often are we doing that? How often are we combining fasting and prayer to encourage our zeal and renew our dedication for the work of God and our commitment and our lives to Him? You know, Christ likened the responsibility of changing our oil to trimming a lamp. To trimming of a lamp. Go with me to Luke chapter 12 and in verse 35. We have an oil lamp. We don't use it very frequently. They are beautiful. Luke 12 and verse 35. Be dressed ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. We have to have the oil renewed of God's Holy Spirit each day in our lives. Because as we do physical things, service, just everyday work in our lives, we can wear out. If we give of ourselves, our energy gets zapped. But God can strengthen us through His power and through His Holy Spirit. Be dressed ready for service, and keep our lamps burning. To have our wick extended into the oil so that we can have power of God in our lives. Point number 4, rotate and balance the tires. Rotate and balance the tires. You know, as you rotate your tires on your car, it's to make sure that you have a smooth ride, right? Otherwise, tires could wear unevenly, and instead of replacing them, say, at 30,000 or 40,000, you might have to replace them in half the time if it's not evenly balanced. And it helps keep our vehicle in alignment. I like to drive down the road on a highway, and you let go of the steering wheel, and you see how far your car will drive before it goes like this, or maybe it goes this way. You just, you know, you keep your hands there so you're safe about it. But that can tell you if your car is in alignment. I wouldn't do it if it's construction zone or you have a lot of traffic around, but, you know, if it's relatively flat, maybe the middle lane, you just keep your hands there and you let go and you see if it drifts off. Are we living God's light way in a balanced way? Are we living God's truth in a balanced way? What are the symptoms of a car that's out of alignment? Well, it can pull the either direction. You can wander. Some people drive by braille. I hope you don't drive by braille. You go to one side and you hear thump, 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 thump. You go to the other side and you hear the middle of the road. Thump, 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 thump. Well, you know, between those two is where you want to go, right? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. We need to live God's truth in a balanced way. Live God's truth in a balanced way. Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 13. Matthew 7 and verse 13. It says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Now in the King James Version, there's a word straight, S-T-R-A-I-T, where in the New King James and in the NIV it's listed as narrow. It's not S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T. That's a straight line. Straight is different. S-T-R-A-I-T means that it's a challenge, that it's a difficult way. It's narrow. Have you ever hiked on a trail that's very narrow? Maybe you have to squeeze your body, contort a little bit to get through there. It's a straight way. It's a challenging way. It's difficult to be entered. You know, the Strait of Gibraltar between the Atlantic Ocean and the Mediterranean is a straight passage, but it has to be navigated very carefully. Let me read to you from the Barclay commentary on this scripture here in Matthew 7. There has never been any other way to greatness than the way of toil. I found it interesting that Mr. Evans mentioned toil in his message. Life can be a toil. When you're striving to follow God's truth, it takes effort. It's a challenge. It's the straight way. Barclay's commentary says, anything else which promises such a way is a delusion and a snare. In this world, we are constantly faced with the short way, which promises immediate results, and the long way, of which the results are in the far distance. The lasting things never come quickly. The long way is the best way in the end. It is the difference between the disciplined and the undisciplined way. When we think about what we're doing and what God has called us to, we're looking way off in the distance, aren't we? We're looking at the kingdom and the character that we've developed between here and there. The hard part is dealing with the now, the things that happen each day. And each week. Let me continue with Barclay. It says, it is the difference between the thoughtful and the thoughtless way. Everything in this world has two aspects, how it looks at the moment and how it will look in the time to come. The easy way may look very inviting, and the hard way may look very daunting. The only way to get our values right is to see, not the beginning, but the end. To see things not in the light of time, but in the light of eternity. Very, very poignant words. I think perhaps Jesus Christ, when he was there on the stake, was looking to eternity, knowing what he had dedicated his life to, the opportunity that would allow us to come and be a part of the family, not looking at the moment and the pain that he dealt with. Do we look towards eternity? Do we look towards the distance? Building character takes toil. It consistently takes work. Or we drift off. We can go where the wheel wants to take us if we're not aligned in a balanced way with God. Focusing on one small aspect of the truth can cause imbalance, and we can wander into dangerous areas where we don't want to go. We have to live in a balanced way. You know, one of the shows that we enjoy is The Biggest Loser. I think it's an inspiring story to see these people that are just grossly overweight, and they toil for weeks to lose that poundage, and their lives are completely changed when they get to the end. Are we toiling in our development of Christian character? Are we growing and expending effort? Or are we taking the easy path? You know, the safest place to drive when you're on the road is where? In the lane. Not on the berm. You go over to the berm, what's over there? Rocks, glass, debris, sometimes even a big flat tire or a bumper. I wouldn't want to hit that with my car. If you go the other way, what's the other way? Somebody's going to honk at you. The safest place is the straight way, God's path. Turn with me over to Proverbs chapter 4 and in verse 27. Proverbs 4 and verse 27. We have to keep our lives balanced and aligned with God, living in a balanced way. Proverbs 4 and verse 27. I'm going to read this to you from the New Living Translation. It says, "Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil." Don't get sidetracked. We have to put boundaries on our desires. We can't chase everything we see. We have to look ahead. We have to look in the distance and fix our eyes on God's kingdom, not getting sidetracked with the detours. Right now we have a lot of detours around 465, and I hate them because it means stress. Detours can cause unwarranted stress in our lives if we're living in an unbalanced way. We can feel the vibration. Like when our car's unbalanced, our lives can experience a rough and bumpy road. You know, we have a choice whether or not to work on our honey-do list. We can decide, well, it's Sunday morning. I feel like sleeping in a little bit. I don't really want to do my list today. We don't have that choice when we're growing godly character. We can complete an item on our honey-do list, and we can have a great feeling of accomplishment. With spiritual growth, we're always growing towards improvement. We never line it out. We're always growing. So spiritual maintenance is a little different. It's ongoing. And the four items that I've covered today are not comprehensive in any way. I'm sure there's many others that you might have on your list. But we all should remain diligent as we strive to become holy.